You ready for 162-0, Keith?
I am ready for that. After yesterday? Oh, yeah. Why stop there? There's a whole bunch of playoff games to win after that.
I don't see what's going to bring them down.
No, that was fantastic. Good to have baseball back. Not even their best stuff, and that's against a decent team, too, so that's a good way to start. There's a lot of good stuff in there, plenty of stuff to pick apart as well after just one of 162, but no, good. Good to have it back. Good win.
Nice opening day win for the Red Sox yesterday. We'll get into it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. We are live today from Polar Park. And I'm looking at our roster here with our pronunciation in a nice city called, it's pronounced Worcester.
Worcester.
Massachusetts.
You hear a lot of different variations of that.
You sure do. But I like that it's phonetically spelled out for us here. The hometown of Nick. We're broadcasting live from the WooSox opener. Very, very exciting day. We're going to talk to Marcelo Meyer, Red Sox top prospect, a little after 11 o'clock. If you want to tune in for that here on Jones and Keefe. We're also scheduled to be joined by my guy, one of my all-time favorites, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah, should we play back some of the stuff that you said about him? Should we do that to start?
I mean, we pretty much have to start with just, hey, Jackie.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend I'm your biggest guy over here. I mean,
we've all matured. We've all said some things.
I mean, we can't ignore that, can we?
No, we can't. Probably should lead with that.
So Steve, that'll be...
You'll find out the first 30 seconds if he's a good sport about it or not.
So that's going to be at 1:30. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
Here on Jones and Keefe.
Should be good. That's like you go. That's like me going face-to-face with Marchand at this point.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
No, like at some point in my radio career,
yep.
Having to talk to Jackie Bradley, Marcus Smart.
Full circle.
Yeah,
this is full circle. This is actually a good opportunity, I think, for you.
The Bills are going to come due at some point.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to do that today at 1:30. Should be very exciting. You can dial us up all day long. 617-779-7937. All your thoughts on the Red Sox opening day yesterday. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. We'll update a very lopsided first semifinal in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. Second semifinal will drop this afternoon in the Final Four. Championship matchup is on Monday. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I would encourage you to do that every day. Do it today. Check out our nice digs here.
The new locale.
At Polar Park.
Yeah.
You ever want to be a minor league broadcaster? Is that ever something you wanted to do?
No, I wanted to skip right to the pros.
We didn't even need it?
No.
You were like a LeBron?
No, you know, I didn't do like a lot of baseball play-by-play.
Me neither.
Believe it or not. I did pretty much just basketball play-by-play. And I remember as like a 22-year-old, I like applied to the Toronto Raptors. I applied to like a ton of jobs. I was not qualified for
the Toronto Raptors?
Yeah, I shot big. They had an opening. I went for the Toronto Raptors.
I applied to like the University of Nevada.
I applied to
the Raptors.
I remember like Colorado State, I think, had like football, basketball openings. A lot of them are both, right? So it's football, basketball. So at the time, I remember applying to a lot of those ones. And you hear nothing back. But I give the Raptors a ton of credit. I had no business sending them anything. Like, here's my Hobart play-by-play and, like, Rivier College play-by-play. How about the Raptors? And they sent something back. They were like, thanks, but no thanks and whatever. But, like, we appreciate y'all. Like, they actually sent, like, a thing back.
Canadians.
Return.
They're so polite.
Super nice.
Maybe that's what it is. University of Nevada, Reno. There was no response to the old Jones demo.
But I do love – minor league parks, you know, and I feel bad about all like the single A teams that have gone down. Like my wife's hometown of Auburn, New York, they had a team for years and years and years. Now they don't, and I think that's a shame because it is such a fun atmosphere. It's also way more family friendly. Like, think about how much it costs to go to this Red Sox games, and then to have a chance to go to any of the other parks. And for the kids, it's a blast. You're still going to a game. It still looks like it's larger than life. They don't care. They don't know who's playing. And then you can tell them one day, hey, you actually saw Marcelo Meyer play, or you saw Roman Anthony play. Like, you can tell them all these stories. So
even if he didn't, they don't know.
No, that's true. Yeah, you can tell them
you saw Mookie Betts.
You were there for Mookie Betts' grand slam.
Dad, Mookie Betts never played in Worcester.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You're too young. You don't get it.
No, but I love it.
It's a good take. And I'll tell you what, I went to a decent amount of this is a late entry for Brag of the Week.
Okay.
But I went to
never too late.
A decent amount of PawSox games.
Did you?
In my childhood. Yeah.
Really?
I'll tell you what.
Sick Brag.
Thank you.
I thought you'd be like more like a Lake Monster.
Well, I did. No, there were a lot of Vermont Expos, Vermont Lake Monsters, but I went to a good amount of PawSox games.
Yeah.
No offense to the great city of Pawtucket. But this is a little more central location, a little more downtown.
Yeah, this is not to put anybody down.
No,
this is pretty sweet.
I don't want to build anybody up by taking somebody else down.
Yeah, no.
This will work. So we're here in Worcester today. You can watch along on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. All right, Red Sox 162-0, still on the table.
Very much so.
Lovely win yesterday. What'd you think about it?
I thought it was encouraging in many ways because we can get into all the different particulars. There's a lot of different storylines with this team. But let's just start with the guy that we're not going to see for another week, and that's Garrett Crochet, right? The guy that we were super excited about, a true ace. I said yesterday he's going to win the AL Cy Young, and it was not his best performance at all, right? I thought he was going to be a little bit better. We both took the over on strikeouts yesterday. It was an under on strikeouts. I thought he'd go six. He went five. Pitch count kind of ballooned up a little bit early on. But the reason why I'm encouraged by it is he's going to have a lot of games a lot better than this, and they still won. He still won five. This wasn't, oh, I'm kind of losing it out three, four innings, or, oh, I'm kind of losing it. Next thing you know, you give up, you know, a home run or something after a couple of walks. He kind of grinded a little bit, didn't have all of his best stuff, and the team still won. He left the game, you know, obviously you'd like him to go deeper into the game, but he left the game only allowing two runs, allowed the offense to come back late and win the game. So I'm not going to tell you it was his best start because it certainly wasn't, but the fact that the team can win games like that, and even he can, I know he didn't take the win, but like he was the starter and didn't pitch great and the team still came out on top, that to me is encouraging.
Yeah, and look, I thought he was maybe going to get run out of the game in the second inning the way things were going.
Yep.
And he was able to stay in and get you through five. Not that that's a huge number.
No.
And it sounded like he wanted to stay in the game, just judging by the broadcast. Who knows how much of that is an act, and, oh, I'm a bulldog, and leave me out there.
Yeah, all these guys want to stay out
there. And who knows how much of that is his real attitude. It's easy to say, in hindsight, Cora made the right call. In real time, I was like, give him another inning. Now, you know, strikeout props could have been at play in the back of my mind.
I think you were thinking,
I'm not sure my real motivation there.
You need to punch out the side in the sixth for you to get the over.
Yeah, but I wasn't rolling it out. 88 pitches, though, probably the right time to get him out of there. It's his first start. You don't want to blow his arm out. He doesn't want to blow his arm out, for God's sakes, since he doesn't have a contract extension. So, no, I mean, maybe a little underwhelming from Garrett Crochet, but that's probably more about our hype, our anticipation level. And it was far from a bad outing. Abreu was great yesterday.
Awesome.
Abreu's a guy who, honestly, completely forgot about.
Legit forgotten guy.
And when we've talked about him, we're like, man, the guy's kind of just in the way of Roman Anthony. He's not going to hold off Roman Anthony. When are we going to see Roman Anthony, who, by the way, is leading off for the Woo Sox today? Marcelo Meyer, when he joins us in the 11 o'clock hour, batting third, we've been told. That's inside info
here.
It's
a good lineup.
Jones and Keefe. I'm not sure you're
going to
get that information anywhere else.
Yes.
Yeah, Woo Sox lineup. Anthony won. Meyer 3, mark that down. You heard it here first.
I don't think many other AAA teams around baseball have two of the 12 best prospects in their lineup. I would dare I say none of them do, right? Because there's a lot of AA guys. There's a lot of certainly, like, you know, just non-teammates in there. So, yeah, just another reason why this is a good take. But, no, Willy Abreu.
But that's kind of how we've talked about Abreu.
100%.
We're like, he's just keeping the seat warm until Roman Anthony gets
And it's probably not fair because he did have a really good rookie year. Like, he was solid. He was not like a big story by any means, and he is very much flown under the radar. And yeah, the guy is involved in all five runs that they score. He has the massive he has a two home run game, so we should have taken him in the dong pool. That's a mistake on us for not trusting in Willy Abreu.
Yeah, by the way, this is another thing. Billy's leading. I think.
He's got these games.
At least when I checked the standings last night, Billy wins all. He wins everything.
I'm trying to figure out how these standings work because it says I have five points.
Yeah,
but
you gotta go to the
hits.
No, you got to go to the daily stats or the season long stats.
So basically, it's going to break it down. Like, if you're winning the home run pool, you'll have 5 points. The person in last place will have one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Look at it like that.
Yeah, yeah. But there's you can toggle around. Trust me, I was on
toggle.
There. I was in the dong pool fantasy group way too much yesterday.
But yeah, I need to be in there. It's
no,
too
but
early.
Billy's good at all these games. But to your point, Abreu undrafted.
So yeah, undrafted, but definitely kind of flying under the radar. Had a good rookie. He's getting rookie of the year votes a year ago, and it's almost like we didn't anticipate. What if he gets better? Like right. We almost thought, like, well, if you get the same from Willy Abreu, why? Like, why? I don't know why we were thinking that. I don't think we were alone. Like, in a lot of like the season previews, it's just kind of like tossed in there. There's so much attention on Bregman and, you know, Devers' willingness to be the DH, shortstop, all the second base, nothing about Willy Abreu. And in fact, isn't there maybe a chance if everybody is so dead set on Roman Anthony at some point, let's say he rips the cover off it down here and you're like, all right, he's the top prospect in baseball, we can't hold him back. I don't know, could you see an outfield of Duran, Anthony, and Abreu,
yeah,
and then Sadon Rafaela ends up being sort of your floater. He ends up playing a backup to everybody. You know, I think
Between he and Hamilton, that's a pretty versatile bench.
So that might almost be more likely path for Roman Anthony than just for, like, Willy Abreu to fall apart. You know, like, because he could be solid. And I know he's not going to hit two home runs every game, but like he could end up being solid. He's good defensively. Although all those guys in the outfield are good defensively. But yeah, no, that was a reminder that we're really high on this team. We like this team, and one of the guys we didn't even mention is all of the offense yesterday. But that also is like a good sign. Like so because, I mean, we'll get to some of the stuff that wasn't great, like the middle of the lineup and everything. But Garrett Crochet doesn't have his best game. The middle of the lineup goes 0-for. They beat the Rangers. That, to me, is a really good sign, because there's going to be plenty of games where Devers and Bregman both hit homers. There's going to be games where Crochet goes 6 or 7, punches out 8 or 9, and you know, you certainly expect to win those games. It's the other games, which is what we saw yesterday.
Nice, nice opening day for the Red Sox yesterday in Texas. They're back at it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I guess not.
What happened there?
They're coffee.
I feel like the air is actually cleaner here in Worcester.
You think that's what it is? You think I'm used to this?
Don't just took off from left field, just sprinted down here for the second.
You think I'm used to the smog of Boston? The air is too clean.
That's right.
Is maybe what it is here in Worcester. That's got to be what it is. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. That's your phone and your text number today on Jones and Keefe, live from the clean air at Polar Park. We haven't really even gotten to Christian Campbell, a guy we thought would be here today in Worcester, you know, as recently as a couple of weeks ago. He makes his debut last night for the Red Sox. I think that was a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
a big hit.
A huge hit.
Yep.
You know, even if he was fortunate with the scoring on the hit and getting on base, he gets the rally going before Abreu clears the bases with the 3-run home run. Defense, though, was an adventure. And when you hear that, oh, man, this guy may not have a position in the bigs, maybe he's just nervous yesterday.
Yeah.
But that's one already after one game. I'm like, ooh, we might need to keep an eye on that, because that was – even though they turned a double play.
I was going to say that the caller to the Greg Hill Show yesterday,
I know people
about lack of double plays.
Very concerned
about
being able to turn a double play. It's the first thing I thought of when that happened. But he was a real adventure in the field yesterday. No errors, but a lot of not clean plays, and one that he could have had scored as an error. So I think that was a mixed bag. It's one game. I don't want to overreact, but I want to watch that going forward.
And, well, especially because this year, different than the last few, it seems like they are really prioritizing defense. I mean, the fact that they bumped Devers out of third base, like for year after year after year, he'd lead the league in errors, but you're like, that's his position. Who cares? Move on. And, you know, all the different variety of shortstops that they would have replacing Trevor Story. But now, like, if you're beefing up your infield defense, and then if that guy does struggle, you wonder, all right, what does Cora do? I mean, overall, I think you need to be patient with him. You need to be patient with him at the plate. You need to be patient with him in the field and let him figure it out, because you could say, all right, he plays a bunch of spots, but if he's going to be a good major leaguer, he needs to find a spot. And then maybe eventually, you know, Mookie Betts plays center, right, second, short. Like, that's kind of, you know, not a lot of guys are doing that. But in the meantime, just to make it as easy as possible of transition from the minors to the pros, like, you got to put him at one position and hope he kind of, you know, I would also say Alex Cora has got to be probably the best manager for that. You know, a guy just to sort of keep his confidence about him and make sure he improves defensively at second base.
617-779-7937. You could jump in on Christian Campbell, his debut. We'll get to Raffy Devers, a poor season debut for Devers yesterday, one of the few blights on opening day. Bullpen very good for Alex Cora one game in, which we'll get to as well, plus all your thoughts on the opener yesterday, which I just feel like there weren't enough wins like that last year.
Yeah,
I don't know how many
exactly
you could count on, but it's a 2-2 game. You're going into the late innings. You're watching them going, they're going to screw this up. They're not going to win. They don't have the timely hitting. They don't have the bullpen. They don't have the defense. Blah, 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 blah. And yesterday, again, it's one game. You don't want to overreact negatively on Campbell and his defense or Crochet and his start. You also don't want to get too bullish on one win. But
sure.
I feel like there weren't enough of those last year, which one game in, I'll give them credit for. I expect the team to pull out games like that this year where they've been incapable of doing that for like 3 years running.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, the highlight was Willier Abreu in the bullpen. So if you told me like the stars of the game were going to be the relievers and Willier Abreu, you'd be like, that doesn't feel like a game you're winning. Now, I guess if the bullpen's really, really good, then I guess maybe depending on, you know, how much you need them and whatever. But, yeah, you're thinking Crochet, Bregman, Devers, Casas, Story. Like, that's what you're thinking is going to kind of win the day. And it wasn't, which is definitely a positive. I mean, the bullpen itself, we didn't know what the order was going to be. Hell, we found out on the air yesterday that Liam Hendricks was going to be on the IL, and who knows if and when he's going to return. And it was definitely trending towards him not being the closer. But if you said they had four innings of shutout relief on opening day, I would have guessed a week ago he would have been a part of it, right? Even though he didn't have a great spring, I was like, all right, you'll find a way to get him in there. Nope.
We were surprised when Bradfoe came on Thursday, and he's like, yeah, or even earlier right. in the day, yesterday, rather, and he's like, yeah, I'm not sure he's going to be a part of the late-game mix. We're like, whoa, never mind, not even on the team.
Bradfoe was all over Whitlock all spring. He loved Whitlock, and Whitlock was good.
Whitlock was good.
Chapman's debut, good. And then Slayton gets the save. Funny, I feel like Slayton might almost be the bullpen version of Willie Abreu, where, like, all year we were, like, talking about all the guys, the new guys. And then even when we were talking about the guys returning, they both got overlooked, but they both had good seasons, and they're both pretty fairly reliable. And it's funny, just game one, those are the two guys that really show up.
So maybe they bailed out. Crochet is too strong, but Crochet got his pitch count up early in the start, got away from him early in the start. He discussed that after the game, obviously expects more out of himself. Here's Garrett Crochet following the Red Sox win.
Yeah, it was kind of a grinder day from the start. I felt like, you know, I struggled with consistent execution. Maybe took a few too many shots in the first couple innings trying to get swing and miss, and kind of dug myself in a hole with pitch count early. But, you know, later on in the game, kind of just started trusting the defense and, you know, trusting everybody other than myself, and just started trying to fill up the zone as best as I could.
Okay. Is yesterday an example of part of the Red Sox hesitance in paying him? Not that the injuries are looming or anything like that. I think that's the biggest factor.
Yeah, but just, I think that's...
It's another example of he hasn't done it. I mean, Crochet's never done it, and I want them to pay him. You want them to pay him, whether that's today or next offseason. I don't really care, but I want them to do it. Is that part of the example of why they haven't done it yet? Like, he hasn't been a lead dog on a top-flight team. He was a lead dog on one of the worst teams in the history of the sport.
Yeah, I think it's going to be injuries first and foremost, and just overall season, durability. There's the injuries that he has had where he's missed a whole season at a time. But I think at this point, they don't have a deal done. Wait to the end of the year. How many innings did he pitch? Was he still pitching well at the end? Because I think one of the big, like, red flags that they ignored with Chris Sale was the end of the year, breaking down at the end of the year.
Yeah, he's never there when you needed him the most.
No, and like the White Sox never made the playoffs when he was there, so it didn't matter. So, like, late in the season, they weren't going for anything, and then he didn't have those extra starts. And then every year, even the year that he had the 300 Ks, by the end of that year, he wasn't the same guy. So maybe it's as much that as anything else with Crochet. Is 6 months from now, end of the year, is he still capable of some of his best stuff? Or is it, we got to skip a start, or, we got to do this? So I think that. And once you find a guy that can do that and pitch as well as we hope that he can, then, like, that's where you realize, all right, that contract probably is worth it.